I want to look at Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The God of hope. The God of hope. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, bless us today as we come to hear your word. Open our minds, open our hearts. Bless us in this adult Sunday school class this morning. You are truly the God of hope. I'm praying for hope for every individual in this place today. Whatever the situation, whatever the need, whatever the circumstance, you bring hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. God, we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. We hear from so many who deeply love the Lord, but live in situations and conditions that appear hopeless to them. Has anybody ever felt hopeless here? Anybody ever had a moment where you can say, I didn't know how I was going to get through that. You were hopeless. But raise your hand again. Let me see. Pretty much everybody. Yeah, you have those moments. You know, people speak of dead-end marriages and health and family problems, and they use such phrases as, there's no way out. I can't do this. I brought it on myself, and now I'm in a prison. I'm stuck for life. God doesn't seem to hear me when I'm in this problem. Nothing ever changes. It just goes from bad to worse. Sometimes I wonder if it's worth it. These are all statements I've heard, sometimes I've used. I wish the Lord would come and get me out of this pit. I have a few good days, but then this feeling overwhelms me and I feel like I'm worthless and just doing nothing. It has been said that the only thing worse than insanity is despair and hopelessness. Hopelessness. But praise the Lord, we serve a God of hope. The God of hope. Can I tell you this morning, there is hope. You don't have to live in despair or fear or frustration of things that have happened or that are happening. You don't have to live in fear of things of the past. There is a God of hope. The Greek word for hope is elpo, meaning to look forward to with pleasurable confidence and expectation. That's what hope is. Pleasurable confidence and expectation. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 15 and 13, our text, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. You've got to have hope, but you get that hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be full of the Holy Ghost, living for God. It is a comfort. It is a guide. It is a strength. It is there when I need it. Hope. Paul introduces an incredible idea that you may abound in hope. He means that you may have enough to spare and supply that is overflowing, excessive, and beyond measure. That's the kind of hope I want. Beyond measure, excessive, overflowing. No matter what comes at me, I have hope in God. I'm going to get through this. I'm going to make it to tomorrow. I'm going to see my way through. Some may think that sounds like a cruel joke. And in my present condition, Brother Chris, you just don't understand. All I want is just a ray of hope, just a little light to shine through. You ever heard the saying, you see the light at the end of the tunnel? And when you get closer to the end of the tunnel, it's really a train coming at you. You ever felt that way? I have. But I'm glad that there is hope and there really is light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train. You're going to make it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just so you know, I'm fired up. We had Tuesday night service upstairs with the kids, and we taught about salvation. Sister Anna did a lesson on salvation and repentance and the importance of getting the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, we had 20 kids up there praying and crying, several of them speaking in tongues. It was absolutely incredible. We had kids running downstairs telling their parents and grandparents. We had grandparents call and say, my grandson told me they were speaking in tongues tonight. That excites me. There's hope. There's hope. There is still a fire. There is still a hunger for the things of God. I have a hope. I have a hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just a little sign of change. That's all I need. Just a little hint of I can make it. Can I tell you this morning, God's word is true. He is a God of hope. He is a God of hope. A hope that is excessive. A hope that is overflowing. A hope that is beyond measure. That's how good my God is. Paul's prayer for the people of God was that he would fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Now, this is to be a normal state for all Christians. We should live in this realm. We should have that hope and that faith because we're in the book, right? Yeah. Not just for well-adjusted, happy-go-lucky believers, but for everybody. Because we're in the book. We live in spirit and in truth. We worship in spirit and in truth. God's not mocking his hurting children today. God's not trying to take you. It's not God. Don't blame God. Growing up, I had a great life family example. My mother's dad, my grandpa, got killed when my mom was 3 years old in a head-on car accident. His brother-in-law was also killed in the same car accident. And my grandma and her sister both lost their husbands on the same day, the same wreck. They both had small children. They both were in a time and an era that it was difficult, as it is today. I literally watched as I grew up one become hard and bitter and angry towards God because she lost her husband that was in the ministry, and I watched the other one become pliable and teachable and lovable and touchable. The same sun that hardens clay melts butter. The same situation. You can't get mad at God and blame God. You've got to take it as it comes and say, God, to God be the glory. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is a God of hope. He is a God of hope ready to flood your soul with exceeding, overflowing joy and peace and by the power of the Holy Ghost in you. Paul said in Romans 8 and 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You know, yet many of us respond by demanding to see a change in our situation right now. Well, God didn't answer that prayer. Just hold on. It might not be in your time or your way. It might not work out the way you think it will, but God will not leave you or forsake you. He will see you through the situation. He'll see you through the storm. He is the God of hope. Well, Brother Chris, I could have hope if I could just see a little movement, a small piece of evidence that God is working for my good, just something to get hold of, just something to hang on to. If I could just see that. Look at what the scripture says. Why doth he yet hope? What a man seeth. But if we hope for that what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Brother Chris, I need to see something change. Well, yeah, we all do. Maybe we need to change. Whoops. Maybe we need to be patient. Maybe we need to hang on. Maybe we need to just keep trusting in the God who'll never leave you or forsake you. Maybe we need to just hang on to the word and the promises of God and say, God, not my will, but thy will be done, because you are the God of hope and I have a hope in you. Hallelujah. Hopelessness is the curse of trusting in man. That's what hopelessness is. Jeremiah 17, verse 5, going down through it. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heat in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Jeremiah is introduces two immutable laws of spiritual life here. One leads to a life and hope, and the other leads to death and hopelessness. And these are the keys to understanding why some Christians and some people enjoy constant peace and joy in the Lord, while others are always reaching and grasping and trying to find some kind of happiness, but they're not. They're just hopeless, and they're in a drought, and they're in despair. The Hebrew word that Jeremiah uses here for curse means utterly detestable. In other words, the person who departs from God and leans instead on man is utterly detestable to God. How can you know when you are trusting in man rather than in God? If you come apart when someone else lets you down, or if the actions of other people around you affect your walk with God, and they can sway your walk with God, you've got to have a made-up mind. I've got a made-up mind. It doesn't matter. I love everybody here, but I'm not living this for you. I'm living it for me. I want to make it to heaven. I want to be right with God. I want to stand in judgment and be righteous. I want to be holy. I want to be pure. I want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. It doesn't matter what other people think or say or do. There's always going to be people that will put peer pressure on you. You got to know who you are. You got to know what you believe and why. There is a God of hope. There is a God of hope. Hallelujah. If you put your trust in man, you're guaranteed to get hurt at some point. Someone is going to let you down. Someone is going to deeply disappoint you and fail you. We're human. We're flesh. The heart is deceitful above all things, Jeremiah 17 and 9, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's what the scripture says. Just when you think you know someone, just when you think you have them all figured out, you're in for a shock. You end up saying things like this: I never expected her or him to do that. I had no idea they were that type of person. Paul said in Philippians 3, put no confidence in the flesh. Much of the hurting and hopelessness that we experience is a result of being let down by someone that you trusted, someone that was close to you, someone that you believed in. They hurt you and disappoint you. Jeremiah says you are like a shrub in the desert, not seeing when the good comes, but rather inhabiting the parched places in the wilderness. This means you're cut off. You're cut off. You're isolated. You're cut off from your true supply of happiness and hope. You have neglected the Lord. You're not drawing from that living water, that refreshing water. You become like a dead, dry, desert shrub, fruitless, barren, hopelessness. You see, you're trusting in someone or something other than God to bring you happiness and hope. And even if that person did what you wanted, or if what you believed would solve your problems actually happened, you would not see the good in it. It would not truly change you. You would still be in despair. What you thought would solve your problem would only make you feel worse. Why? Because you're not tapped into the living water of God, the God of hope, of excessive hope, of joyful hope. One of the great wonders of America is the incredible New York Aqueduct, and it is all underground. It's made of bricks. It's pretty fascinating. I love history. I love things that are just marvels in my mind, and it runs for miles and miles and miles from upstate to down, bringing water down to the metropolis, and it took a whole army of Italian immigrants to build it. And what would happen if that aqueduct were cut off and suddenly there was no water supply flowing into the city and no supply of water to an entire area of the state? New York City would become a parched place. It would become a salt land and not inhabitable. We can withstand and live without gas, but you cannot live without water. Every one of us in here has to have a certain amount of water every single day to survive. The same thing will happen in your spiritual lives when people lose hope, when people are cut off from that supply, when you're cut off from the things of God and the Word of God and the house of God and the people of God and the man of God. Things begin to change in your life and it's difficult to survive. You lose hope, and then rather than running to the Lord, people begin to clam up and they begin to run inward and they begin to look at other things. And today, every Christian across America, we're experiencing overwhelming despair. There are things happening to Christians around the world that are unimaginable. Many of us sit in awe, quietly, because it's not happening right here. We turn to others, we turn to friends, we turn to counselors, we turn to medicine, we turn to finance. We live in the lap of luxury. Thank God for that AC this morning. Thank God for these lights this morning. I'm grateful. Thank God for a beautiful building to come and worship. Thank God for nice clothes and beautiful pews to sit on. But let us not forget, somewhere, not in the rest of the world, somewhere in America, there's somebody hurting right now. Oh God, they're hopeless. They're broken. They're needing somebody to say, you can do it. You can. Let me introduce you to the God of hope. You can be an overcomer through the power of the God of hope, through the power of the Holy Ghost. You can be an overcomer by the word of your testimony and the shed blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Jeremiah describes the sin of Judah as a sin of believers, not of the heathen surrounding them. The sin of God's own people was this: in difficult times, they didn't turn to Him in faith, but instead sought help from flesh. Jeremiah 18:12, and they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. In this passage, God is pointing out an incredibly horrible sin being committed by His own people, by men and women of God. Look over at Jeremiah 18, verse 13. Go to verse 13. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ask ye now among the heathen, who hath heard such things? The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the rock of the field? Or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? What is this horrible thing God's people are committing? Like the cold, refreshing waters that flow down from melting snow. God gives an unceasing supply of power to His people. Lebanon's water is the water of strength. It's available. It's unfailing. It's quenching. It'll meet your need, just like we are today. The gift and the power of the Holy Ghost will meet your need. It's unstoppable. You've just got to be open and receptive to the Word of God. God, I'm sorry. Wash me. Cleanse me. Fill me with that presence. I need hope. I need life through the power of the Holy Ghost. Yet God's people often continue on their own way, dry, empty, sad, coming every week, day after day after day, doing the same thing over and over and over and over. We've been left to ourselves. We'll just go on our own way, forsaken, unwanted. We feel despair, the picture of despairing Christians who have forgotten the promises of God, who sit dejected beside a flowing stream. Yes, you're here this morning, but you're just letting it go by. You're just letting it go by. I encourage you, before today is over, reach out and grab onto the things of God and say, God, here I am. I don't have it all figured out, but I figured this out this morning. You are the God of hope. Fill me right now. Wash me right now. Cleanse me right now. Make me new right now, God. I need hope. I need refreshing. I need that water of life. The God of hope. The danger of hopelessness is that it leads to recklessness. Jeremiah 18 and 15, because my people have forgotten me. They have burned incense to vanity. They have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in the paths in a way not cast up. Our city streets, our bars are filled with despairing people. People who are recklessly throwing away their lives. People who are trying to get even with someone who hurt them. People who have been so hurt and dejected and despair and frustration and hopelessness that they have given up on life and the things of God. Some are even mad at God for not helping them when they wanted Him to. Burning incense to vanity. They stumbled in their ways from the ancient past. This is where the problem lies. I could write a book full of tragedies of those I know personally who have grown so depressed and so hopeless that they have become reckless with their lives. If you allow the devil to convince you that you are a helpless victim and that you are worthless and that you are a nobody, a good for nothing with no hope, because some flesh failed you along life's path, because you failed along life's path, this can lead to spiritual laziness. Hear me this morning. People give themselves excuses to do nothing. I am challenging you with every fiber in my being. Get up and do something spiritually. Tell somebody about God. Teach a Bible study. Witness. Share this good report. I know it's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, but happy Jesus Day. Let's tell somebody about God. Let's put some hope into somebody. Let that light shine that is inside of you. Stir up the gift of God which is in you. That's what the scripture says. Timothy, stir up the gift of God. It was first in your grandma and your mother. Happy Mother's Day. Now stir up that gift. Begin to get that hope back. Begin to get that life back. Begin to get that fire back. Rekindle it and get it going again. Hope, the God of hope. The God of hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Too often, dullness sets in. It becomes a past feeling. You can lecture. You can counsel. You can beg and plead. You can preach. You can love. And it seems like nothing works. And it's not that God's not helping them and that nothing is going to work. And it's not because God is failing them, but rather they are failing God. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. The best preaching I've ever received has been in this church my entire life. I grew up among preachers, around preachers, in our home, sometimes weekly. I've never had better teaching or preaching than I've had right here. We have an awesome pastor. We have an awesome Sunday school teacher team. We have great, talented people here. But none of that will be effective. None of that will work if you're not open to receive it. We cannot affect one sinner if they're not in the pew to hear it. Your life can't be changed when you don't take it in. You got to put something in to get something out. There is hope. There is a God of hope. Don't live in despair or doubt or fear anymore. Just give it all to God. Trust Him completely. Make every step count. The God of hope. The God of hope. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Thank God there's another immutable law, the law of hope, the law of life. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for that. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. Here's the secret of living in contentment and constant hope. And it's revealed. The secret is of being full of joy and peace is in the Holy Ghost. It's in the Holy Ghost. It is not found in trying to reform and making promises to God that you can't keep. The person who experiences this promise can no longer be hurt by people because he or she doesn't hope in them. His expectations are in the Lord. My trust, my faith is in the Lord. Hey, you begin to not care what man says or does, and your eyes are on the Lord alone. And the Lord never fails to let you down. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. An amazing Hebrew word is used for planted here. It actually means transplanted. Transplanted. Anybody ever transplanted an item in a garden or a tree? Or you transplant. Years ago, there was a guy named Bob Holtz in our church. And if you're related to him here today, I doubt it. But if you are, I apologize. But he came to our church. Oh, Pastor, I want to plug in. I want to plug in. Well, about 3 weeks later, oh, Pastor, God called me over here. And this happened over and over and over. Finally, my dad went and got a tree. And he said, Bob, I want you to plant this tree anywhere on the church property. Oh, great. That's great, Brother Gidrose. But when you leave, I want you to take it and plant it over there. Well, it wasn't too long, that beautiful 7 or 8 foot tree, when he finally came back, it was about a 3 foot stick. It was dead because he kept moving. He kept changing. He never would stay rooted and grounded in any one place long enough. He would get frustrated with something and he would pull out. Sometimes you just need to be rooted and grounded and just put down roots and I'm taking it. Give it to me, preacher. Give it to me, pastor. Give it to me, Lord. I'm here to stay. I ain't going nowhere. Can I tell y'all? I ain't going nowhere. Can I tell you again, Casey? I ain't going nowhere. You can plant me out back. I'm staying. There is truth. There is truth. There is life. There is hope. There is a God of hope. Hallelujah. Faith uproots the dry, fruitless desert shrub that's scorched and lonely and ugly, and it transplants it by the living stream of waters that flowing from Lebanon. David said, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city or the people of God. God is the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her hand that right early. And David said of God in Psalm 65 and 9, thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou blessest the springing thereof. The river of God will heal you and touch you. And everything it touches, it has an effect on it. Put your roots down deep. Put your roots down deep in his river. And you will not have to fear when heat or drought or storms come your way, because you're anchored to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're anchored to a river that'll never run dry. Hallelujah. You won't be continually tired or weeping or lonely or dry and feeling forsaken. Instead, you can be transplanted simply by giving God your trust and your faith. Transplant from the old nature, the old way, into the things of God, the new nature. future, the new way, the things that will make a difference in your life. Begin to rest in His Word, and soon you will grow roots down deep into His river of life. Why do some believers, why do some people always rejoice and abound in hope? Why are they full of peace and joy and radiating the glow of spiritual life and health and to all and everything they meet? It is because they don't have any problems? No, it's not because they don't have any problems. Not at all. The truth is they probably have more problems than you have. But they have learned the secret of having roots wrapped around and into God's river and the things of God. You're not constantly moving from dry spell to blessing, from lows to highs, from revival to coldness. You're drawing water from God's river of life. Hallelujah. Paul said, I die daily. I take that as I repent daily. I make it a point to say, God, if there's anything I've done, wash me, cleanse me, fill me with the Holy Ghost again today. Renew me. It's a daily relationship. It's not a one-time experience. You got to be plugged in. If I had to choose between revival and roots, I'd take roots any day. For long after revival is gone, I would still thrive because my roots, which would supply me daily with all I need, is still plugged in. You got to have a depth to you. You can't just be a surface Christian and walk in, oh, I went to church this Sunday. No, there's got to be something inside of you. You've got to be sold out to this thing. There is a God of hope. But again, it comes back to you. You've got to make a decision. You've got to make a choice for yourself. I'm going to live for God. I want to be plugged into this thing. This river is Jesus. And I want to be plugged into that. His very presence, the very moment you cast down all doubt and fear. Lord, I believe. And in you I have hope, abounding hope. In the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Let me tell you this morning quickly why it's so important to get your roots down deep in God. Because we hadn't made it to glory yet. We hadn't finished the course. We hadn't finished the race. It's not the one that runs the swiftest. It's not the one that shines for a day. But it's He that endures to the end. You got to keep going every day. Some days you might take giant steps. Some days it might be tiny steps. But you got to keep pressing towards the mark of the high calling. If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, Jeremiah 12:5. Then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? These are supposed to be good times. We live in a mild shower compared to coming storms. You read the news, hear the news, watch the news, click on the news on your computer or your phone. Every other headline, if not every headline, doom, despair, gloom, this is happening, that is happening. More Bible prophecies are coming to pass every day than ever in the history of mankind. Can I tell you there is a God of hope? Can I tell you there is a way out of this? Can I tell you can make it? You can live for God. You can give your heart and soul to God today, this very day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. You can repent of your sins. Oh, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You can repent and make things new. We can baptize you in Jesus' name. God can fill you with the beautiful gift of the Holy Ghost. You can have a hope that you've never dreamed possible. You can have a future that you never dreamed possible. Second Corinthians 4:17, you and I are now being tested by light afflictions. To drive us to the Lord, to make us dig deeper, sometimes things begin to happen. Sometimes your faith gets tested. Sometimes you go through stuff to see how rooted you really are. Oh, I want to be rooted and grounded in Christ today. Psalms 42:2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. My tears have been my meat day and night. I pour out my soul in me. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. This is God's message to all who are cast down, that are sad or defeated or low or blue or discouraged or joyless. Why are you depressed? Why are you down? Why are you gloomy? Why are you in despair? David doesn't even try to answer these questions in this Psalms. All he can say is hope in God. I have hope in God. There's some situations that I'm facing that you might be facing. I have hope in God. I can't change it by anything I say or do, but my hope is in God. My trust is in God. I'm putting it in the Master's hands, and I'm saying, God, you take care of this. I'm going to keep a smile on my face. I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep staying in the Word of God and the things of God, and you just handle this. That's all you can do sometimes. The God of hope. The God of hope. He is health. He is the health of my countenance. To those who patiently, expectantly wait on God. Finally, Psalms 42 and verse 8, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime and in the night. His song shall be with me. And my prayer unto the God of my life. Can I tell you there's a God of hope this morning? Can I tell you that Jesus is the God of hope? Can I tell you that the scripture, Romans 15 and 13, is true? Now the God of hope fill you with all joy. God will fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You got to believe for yourself. You got to make a decision for yourself. You got to take a step of faith for yourself. But when you take a step of faith and say, God, here I am, he will meet you. He will embrace you. He will love you. He will protect you. Hear me this morning. There is hope. There is hope. There is hope in the King of glory and the God of glory. That ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for every student of your word. I pray, God, that something that was said would touch, send hope, send life to every heart here today. God, you touch every family represented here today. Transplant us into your love and your mercy. Let us find our root system and let us ground it in you, into that river of living water. God, I pray that the power of the Holy Ghost would come and comfort and touch every person. Quicken our hearts. Wash us in your blood. Let your love and your mercy go before us. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet somebody this morning. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back in about 15 minutes and have morning worship. God bless you.